Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, from the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Russell Goodman will be conducting our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to participate in that service. At 3 p.m., our brother Greg Tomlinson will continue teaching the class on church history, and at 4 p.m. today, we're going to have a special event. We are celebrating Andrew Noriel's birthday. So in our evening worship service at 5 p.m. today, Pastor Otero will be teaching the series, The Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor will be speaking on Jesus Christ, the Savior of our soul, from the book of Jonah. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine, and will be teaching on what the scriptures teach concerning the nature of man. Another note here on our 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon class, beginning next Sunday, November 17th, our brother Wayne Pitts will be teaching a class on evangelism, and those will be, I believe, six studies on evangelism. We were studying in our Sunday school Book of Romans, where Paul was teaching on what his main purpose was to witness for Christ, to preach the gospel. And so we as believers have that same mandate. We have different talents, different gifts, but if you're feel led to engage in evangelism to a greater degree, I would suggest that you do attend those classes beginning next Sunday. There will be a quarterly congregational business meeting next Sunday, November 17th, directly following the morning worship service. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. It reads, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him." We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and let us begin our worship now with hymn number 50, "Fairest Lord Jesus." Let's continue our worship now with hymn number 27, I sing the mighty power of God. Please rise as we sing hymn number 477, At Calvary.
Look to the Lord in prayer this morning, and I just want to know the congregation that is on the air and those who were able to work through work radio in Oklahoma and get into the internet, that we today have the opportunity to say goodbye to the Tostes and to Betty Tarp as the Lord moves them into the area of Sacramento, and to welcome Marlene DeLillo assuming responsibilities for our choir. It's very hard for this pastor, and it's very hard for the church, but the mysteries of God, we have to respect it and follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence today with a heart always of praise because of the grace that you bestow upon us in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Somewhere, somehow, through the word, through the witness, through a church, doesn't matter what denomination, we came to the knowledge of Christ, and that's grace. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for those who preach Christ, maybe with a different label on the front of the building, maybe with a different liturgy in the process of the church service. But Christ is presented, And I want to thank you, Father, for that, because Christ is grace. And I want to thank you, Father, that we have come to know that Christ in a personal manner, in a manner in which makes sense to our heart and mind. And now our life is focused on the Word of God and on the Christ, on the Word. We thank you, Lord, for those who die for this country as we celebrate tomorrow, Veterans Day. Many of us have served in different branches of the military. And Father, this country is under attack again. And we pray for the wisdom of our chief, our president. We pray for those generals and those pilots and for everybody involved in this, that perhaps a war can be avoided, but never at the price to be in jail, prisoners of another nation. And so, Father, because there are believers in both sides, but because I'm sure that in Iraq there are believers, and I'm sure a war brings death to many, Father, I pray that you will enable somehow to avoid this catastrophe in the world. We thank you, Lord, for our government. We thank you that they want to defend us and protect us. And we thank you, Lord, that that means that the gospel can be brought free everywhere, at least in our territory. We pray for those who are experiencing sickness and problems. We are glad for the progress on Loretta Flores. We pray, Lord, that you attach those who are in treatment so that they will become wholesome again as they experience the touch of God. We pray for the Tosta family and for Betty Tarp. We are more than grateful, Lord, that one day they came to this church, and little by little, step by step, developed their gift with our congregation. We did not have a choir then. We did not have anything organized in praising God. And you brought this family and the lovely Betty so that we can enjoy a piece of the glory of God. And we thank you, Father. You let us have it for a certain time. And now we pray that to the church that they're going to worship up above in Sacramento, that will be, again, ministering with their gift and showing them the love and the presence of God as you did with them here. Protect them in all the details. Give them wisdom in every step of the way. And give Betty strength, and let her know that this pastor and this congregation love them with the love of God. We pray for our missionaries, and yesterday as I was watching in Moscow, cleaning up the street with the snow, I thought and our brother Fred and Carol in Siberia. If there is a snow in Moscow, Siberia houses might be all covered. But they are there for a mission, and I pray that you bless them. Carol and Ruth Knott, as they are in Sevilla, to organize another church and to teach elders in churches in Spain. For Eusebio and Maritza Perez, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, for Ruben and Irene Zachert in Lodi, for the Sport Ministry in the city of San Jose, for Daniel Lacey, as he is preparing himself to visit churches and to raise his support, as the duties of being a chaplain have been completed, and now they are preparation for the next coming month of March, where they start all over again. And then, Father, we pray for Martha Peretti as she is trying to develop the best she can a light from heaven in this group of drug addicts. Sometimes she is amazed, the only one or two or three come to believe. And I told her that perhaps none will believe. Her duty is not to see how many will believe, but how faithful we are in presenting this work that she does and leading the devotionals. And now a pastor is going to go with her to another area also to bring the gospel. Lord, thank you. You have some people somewhere, and we are seeking as fishermen to see where they are so that we can see them coming into the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that our church focus on the Word and in the Christ of the Word of God. And we pray that every Sunday when we open these doors, every service that we start, every service that we produce during the day will focus on the Word of God and on the Christ of the Word. We thank you, Lord, for Marilyn Dulillo. Out of nowhere, she got the job. As well paid, Lord, is paid by the mighty God with all his kindness and love. As we study Wednesday night, the Lord has loving kindness for his people. I thank you for the Dulillo family, for their gift, and for their willingness to drive more than an hour to get here. All of them. I enjoy every one of them. And I pray that her ministry will be first a praise to you, Father, and then a blessing to all of us. And now, Father, as you have supported us and give us from the substance of our income, I thank you for the support of your people. And as we're going to challenge our church next Sunday to enlarge our support, I know that you're going to provide. I thank you, Father, for the gift you have given people here, that we can be in the internet today, and that we can be in radio, and we can be in the tape ministry, CD ministries. And who knows how many ministries more you're going to add to our life. Lord, especially to this evangelism ministry, I pray for Wayne, that he may teach us a class to challenge our life, to go on Sunday, door by door here, and to tell the people Christ can save. We got the Bibles, we got the tools, and we got the man. God, give us the Spirit that we may witness to this city. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Choir, please take your Bibles now and turn to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 703. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a gracious and loving God, and that you gave us the greatest gift it was possible to give, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has redeemed us from every lawless deed and purified us for himself. We pray, Father, for strength to overcome the lures of this world, that we may be credible ambassadors and witnesses to a fallen race, that we may testify to the beauty and greatness of him who purchased for us so great a salvation with his own blood. We look for that day when he will return in glory. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and his words as he comes to tell of our great God and Savior, that we would gain greater understanding of our God, and that this gospel would reach the ears and hearts of those listening on the radio and internet who do not know you. We pray, Father, that they also will receive the gift of faith and know the joy of your salvation. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And not too long, last Sunday, we start another series of studies. Each month, I have one topic. And the topic for this month is the gift of God. If you have a Bible, you can open in Romans 11 in verse 29. Page 668, if you are using the Bible that is there in the pew, and you are listening in KKNC or in any of the satellite stations via internet to Word Radio or KKNC, please let us know if you need a Bible like ours, and we will send it to you free of charge. In Romans 11:29, Paul said, for the gifts, you notice the plural? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Page 668. The gifts, plural, of God and the calling of God are without repentance. The fact that God saved you and the fact that God saved me and saved hundreds of people, he will never repent that he saved some people. That's how David kept into the kingdom. He blew it, but he's still in the kingdom because the calling of God is without repentance. Last Sunday, we look upon the great gift that God gave us in Jesus, the rock. And I have the opportunity to this week to talk to our priest here in the town and chatting about Jesus, the rock. And he said, I had no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is the rock. And I stopped it right there because that was enough to praise God and ask him to buy a cup of coffee for me. What a joy that you can, little by little, piece by piece, you can have communion and certain great truths of the Bible without getting into all the paraphernalia in details. For the gift of God are without repentance. And that great gift of God that we studied last Sunday was Jesus, the rock. Now, today, I'd like to talk to you about another gift of God. Because it's well explained in the Bible, and I will try to do it as simple as I can. The gift of the grace of God. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, page 689. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, page 689. You find there the grace is a gift. For, you know the text, regardless the translation that you are using and regardless the denomination of the Bible you are using. For the grace, for by grace ye are saved through faith. And clearly, Paul said, that is not of yourself. That's not something that you were born with. That is not of yourself. He said, it is the gift of God. And you know that the word gift is not plural, it's singular. There's only one gift. And that gift of God refers to grace. And in another text, refers to faith. But here, refers to grace. It is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. And I thought, well, I can make a great theological sermon. I can speak way about that the people will go home and say, that was great, but we don't know what the pastor said. Why can I speak so that all the people, include our children, can understand? And I was looking for a passage of the scripture that will talk about the grace of God in a very graphical way. Let me ask you a question. How many time zones do we have in America? Do we have four or do we have three? Sometimes I confuse. I think we have four, but we have Eastern time, and we have the Pacific Standard Time, and we have the Mountain Time, and we have the Central Time. We have four different time zones. Argentina should have the country count for at least two, but they don't care to change that. So when I came to this country, I had to adjust to these time zones, all right? Now, think in this way. We have time zones in our life, and we are experiencing the winter time zone, 1 hour even late and so on. So I want to bring to you grace in three time zones. Is that right? Is that simple? You understand, Anthony? All right, good. I hear somebody else preach, Brother Ramil here. I heard the tape, and he talked to you, Anthony. You're handy. You sit over there, and we can talk to you. Grace in three time zones. Will you turn your Bible to the passage our brother read in Titus 2:11, page 703. And we go verse by verse, and you will see a grace in three time zones. All right? So that we understand that gift of grace. Titus 2 and verse 11. Grace in the time zone of the past. Look at the verb. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. Perfect tense. Perfect tense. Past is gone, is done. And I'll show you in a minute where the Bible in the Old Testament show that. Now, look the other verb. When you read the Bible, pay attention to the verbs and you get a great teaching. Look in verse 12. Talking about grace, Paul said, teaching us. That's present. At the present, the grace of God is teaching something. And then if you look in the next verse, verse 13, is future. Looking for. Looking for. So you have the three time zones of the grace of God. The past, the present, and the future. Now, let's zero in each one of them and see how the grace of God, that gorgeous gift of God, comes into a life or have come in the life of other people. And we have plenty of examples in the Bible. The grace of God in the time zone of the past, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared not to one man, nor to some men, what the Bible said? To all men. Now for those who study Greek, the word men doesn't mean male. When the Bible used the word anthropos, then mankind. I don't know why that King James, who were so gorgeous in their English, do not put that word mankind. So do not, looks. I don't like that. You see, what about women? Men, not only men, women too, mankind, all right? The word Adam. Adam doesn't mean male, means mankind. Now, Ish means Adam, and Isha means women. And Aner in Greek means men. You know all those things. You read many languages, you know. All right? So the grace of God has appeared, past tense, to all. You want to see some? Okay, let's go to the first book of the Bible. You go to Genesis chapter 6. And many of you have read the Bible. And many of you know that God has created the world perfect. Sin came into the world in Genesis chapter 3. And what a mess. We have in chapter 4, somebody killing his own brother. We have in chapter 5, all kinds of the people getting dispersed. And then in chapter 6, man began to multiply, and they want to be independent of God. That's the very nature of man. I want to be my own God. Remember what Satan said to Eve? If you eat, whatever that fruit was, if you eat this, you will be just as God. And what is God? We learn in physics, if you study physics, that there is a point of independence where all the forces coincide and the gravity is zero. And so God is where all the forces of the universe are, and he is free. I was in a big church in New Jersey, the church the pastor trained me. And when they were doing the new building, after 30 years of pastorship, they were doing the new building, seating 4,000 people. And he wants no columns in the building. I participated in the design of the structure. And all the beams came to a little crown in the center of the room. And the pastor Herman took me over there, this good German. He said, Gabriel, are you sure this is okay? Look at these giant beams, and look at that crown, it's so small. I said, because their force is zero, zero, zero force. So I don't understand. There is a point where you coincide all the forces, and then you are free. And there is no force in that place. Well, God is free. Nothing can tie up God. Nothing can move God to do what you want to do. He is free. And so man wants to be like that. You have children, you know they want to be like that. Especially if you have boys, they want to be like that. And especially if you have women also, they want to be like that. They want to be free from your instructions, free from your counsel. And as they grow, 13, 14, 15, 16, worse they get. I told Danny, worse they get. Because they have a mind of themselves, and they want to be themselves, which is beautiful. When you marry, you never lose yourself. Otherwise, you are in a bad marriage. When you marry, you are yourself, ladies, and you are yourself, men. But the beauty is love bringing you together. And the greatness of this is that here you have in Acts 6, mankind, in Genesis chapter 6, mankind who was created in the image of God. When God made man, he said Tobiah, which means was very good. And then now mankind want to be independent of God is a mess. The whole universe is a mess. Look at verse 7, Genesis 6, verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. It's a mess. If you think it now is a mess, some people complain, oh, the world is a mess. If you think it now is a mess, read the world in Genesis 6. That was a mess. And God said, I will destroy it. So all men are judged by God. No one was except one. There's a one guy. Look at verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was God Noah good? No. He was just like the others. Why Noah? Don't ask me. Ask God when you get there. But God zeroed in his grace and touch Noah. What that mean, Pastor? That Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's explained in verse 9. Look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. You know what that mean? When you have the grace of God? When you have the grace of God, means that you understand what God has done, and then God applied to your heart and to your being the work of Christ, and then you are justified before God, and then you are perfect before God, even though you are yourself. God doesn't see anymore Gabriel Otero. He sees the work of Christ in the heart of Gabriel Otero. That's grace. And a church cannot do that. I, as a pastor, cannot put water in your head and put the grace of God in you. Because that will be no grace. I need grace. And you need grace. And so, Titus said, has appeared. Already done. And we have example number one. Here is a man by the name Noah. And you know, the whole world was rebuilt upon this man. Thank God, there was a man who had the grace of God, and upon he and his family, the world was rebuilt. Amazing. Don't ask me why God chose Noah. Again, that is not the case here. The case is that in the time zone of the past, God put grace in Noah. Now, I want to show you a man that God put grace on him before he was born. Look to Jeremiah, please. The prophet Jeremiah, all right, in chapter 1. This man had nothing to do with his life, nothing to do with his prophetical work. God put grace on him before he was born. In Jeremiah, in chapter 1, and in verse 4, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah is speaking, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Don't tell me the babies are not in the belly of the mother, because the Bible said it is a baby. Amen. Jeremiah was a baby. All right? All right? And look at what God says. Verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. It means I separated thee. I give you a gift of separation. And I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. Poor Jeremiah, he doesn't know nothing of this. He was in the baby, enjoying the time with mama, playing soccer inside mama's belly, enjoying himself. And when he come out, he got a job. At 14, 15 years old, he got a job. He need to do this. You know, Jeremiah was complaining. Then said I, look at verse 6. Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. He was scared to death. When I come to this pulpit, I was telling a couple in home
on Friday, when I come to this pulpit and that chair, I have a drama. Even though I know the sermons from ear to ear, I have a drama. And how I'm going to present it to you. And I sympathize with Jeremiah in verse 6. Lord, I cannot speak. I'm a child. The Hebrew word doesn't help us. It's a common word. Doesn't classify. We have words in different languages that if you say, I'm a pibe, I know what age you are. But this is a common word. I'm a child. So he maybe was between 14, 15, 16. He was scared. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto me, say, no, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, whosoever I command, and thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. That's the key of a pastor. That's the key of a Sunday school teacher. That's the key of witnessing. The words of the Lord only. And so when the Bible says right here, going back to Titus chapter 2 in verse 11, when the Bible says that the grace of God brings salvation has appeared to all men, yes, it did. And we see how much effect has done in the life of some people. The grace of God has appeared. It's not something new. It's not something that has been created. People in the Old Testament are saved in the same way that in the New Testament. The grace of God come in and zero in their life, and now they know God. That's it. There is no methodology of being saved. There is no a plan of being saved. God comes into your life through the gift of faith, and now you know God. And of course, God used witnessing, God used the word, God used a television, a radio, God used a neighbor, God used any witness to bring the gospel. And if God is pleased, he brings that to all men, not just to this, to all men, and zero in and get it. Old Testament. Now, let's go to the present. The grace in the time zone of the present. Verse 12. Teaching us. See, the grace of God, which is the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and also in the Old Testament, the pre-incarnated state of Jesus, the grace of God is teaching us. You say, well, I have an FBI agent this past week asking me over a cup of coffee questions about the Bible. And he asked me this question. I said to him, you know what you need, sir? You need Christ. And he said, where is he? That's a good question. Where is he? Is he in a crucifix that we use as an ornament of saying Christ died for me? Where is he? Well, in the evening, we now for 24 Sundays, we explain this, but I do it again. Hebrews, go to your Bible, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, and in verse 7, you know, where is he? See, teaching us. Christ is teaching. So, let's see, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 7. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. See, you find Christ in only one place, in the volume of the book. Is that right? That's where in the evening we study in every book of the Old Testament and bring Christ out of the book. Today, Jonah, the Savior of our soul. You find it in chapter 2, verse 9. It's just beautiful. And see, it's about Christ. It's about Christ. And so in the present tense, teaching us, you get it from the Bible. The grace of God, Christ Jesus, is there, and you get it from the Bible. Now, if you want somebody in the present being saved by grace, I show it to you. Galatians, let's go to Galatians, chapter 1, verse 15, page 685. Galatians, chapter 1, and verse 15, and verse 16, page 685. This is a contemporary man, even though he was saved 2,000 years ago. It's on the present tense, the other side of the cross. And we read in Galatians 1:15, these are words of his testimony. But then it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by what? His grace, no meritorial form in Paul, no credentials. Later on you read in Galatians, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, I was a disciple of Gamaliel, I had this PhD, I had this other PhD, I had this other PhD. You read in Galatians 5, he really loaded with degrees. No. He said in verse 15, and call me by his grace to reveal his son in me. That was the grace of God is. If you are an unbeliever today, sitting here, listening to me over the span of the state of California through KKNC, or maybe over America and the internet and work radio, I want to tell you this, that you can be an unbeliever, and the next second you can be a believer because of the power of God. When he put the grace on you, then you see. Now, let me tell you about verse 11. Just one clue. I thought I will not bother you with some Greek, but I think I will, so that you get a little picture. In Titus 2:11, on the past, see what the word said, has appeared? That word is a compound word. It's made by a preposition, and it's made by a verb. And the preposition is epi, which means on the top. See, on the top. My hands is on the top epi of the pulpit, on the top. And the next word is final, which means light. You got the word focus, to see. In the best translation, rather than saying has appeared, I will translate it, the grace of God became visible. Became visible. See, the grace of God is here. The grace of God is around the whole universe, but have not become visible to some people until God applied it to their heart. See, that's what happened. It's not that the grace of God has to come, or that we have to do some tricks to call the grace of God. The grace of God has become visible. The only thing is we need a push of God to come into our life. That's the mercy of God, to come into our life so that we can see it. Fantastic. Grace in the time zone of the present. God has manifested his grace through the teaching. And look, let's go to Titus 2 and verse 12. Look at what is the teaching. And Paul tells us, number one, he said we should live soberly. Wow. That's in relation to yourself. You see it? Three things Paul said about the grace of God. When the grace of God come into your life, the grace of God, Christ, as you read the scripture, will teach you to live soberly. That's in relation to yourself, a proper appreciation of yourself, a proper relationship of yourself with yourself. Because some of the dramas of life is people who have not understand to love themselves as God loved them. Self. And then he says, not only soberly, righteously. That's in relation to others. Righteously is a German word there that is translated justify. Be a just person. As a parent, you have to be just in relationship to your children. Children need to be just in relationship to the parents and providing obedience to the parents. It's just in relationship to others. And look at in relationship to God. He said in verse 12, and godly. In the present world, not in the world to come, in the present world. And so God said you need to leave it. When the grace of God touch your life, these are the three manifestations of the grace of God. You live soberly in relation to yourself. You're not complaining about yourself anymore. Suddenly you become joyful. Suddenly you have the presence of God. Oh, problems? Yes. Difficulties? Yes. Things that you never expected in your life? Yes, but you are under control. I hear somebody saying in television today, you are cool. Is that young people say that? You are cool. Jacqueline told me, you have to say, if you want to be really contemporary, you have to say chill. Okay, you're chill. Whatever, all right? But I'm learning. And we have a lot of young people. I'm learning. Whatever you want to be, cool, chill, or sober. But you have to be. Of the grace of God cannot make it. And some people say, I cannot be. Well, rather they going back into certain areas of your life, why don't you go back to Jesus? Is Jesus yours? Have the grace of God become visible to you? Doesn't matter what church you go. Doesn't matter what denomination you are. Listen, I'm talking about serious business beyond. I said to the priest in O'Henry Coffee Shop, I said, you know, may God be in your heart and in my heart, and may this whole town come to God. He said, I have a different impression of you. Well, now you got a different impression. I'm here in the coffee shop to let these old people, and they are my age, to let those old people know that I love the Lord. And we need to do that. The grace of God is like this, is sober, and is righteous. You treat the other person in the right way. Husband, you treat your wife, and remember what the Bible said? You love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we are guilty of not doing that. And then, godly. When people see you, they don't have to say, oh, here's Dr. So-and-so, here's lawyer so-and-so. They have to say, what a godly man, what a godly woman will be. Young people, your credentials in the school is not going to be, you're 100% in your test, and I know all you get it, I know. But what it is the people will say, oh, what a godly girl is Mary. What a godly boy is Andrew. And that's the call of God when he gave us his grace. Grades are incidental. And some of you are studying physics, and you know how easy it is. The teacher finishes the thing, and the whole thing comes into your head like nothing. But I tell you, we need to shine in this universe teaching people that we have received the grace of God. Not teaching people we are Baptists, we're this, we're the other. Forget about that. Let's teach people that we are Christians. Finally, the future. The grace of God in the time zone of the future, verse 13. What the Bible said? Looking for that blessed hope. What could be? Would that be a new house? Would that be a Mercedes Benz? If I'm in my mind, maybe you like a Ferrari or a Maserati 255 or whatever. Who knows what Daniel wants? You know? What is it? Looking for that blessed hope. Tell you what that blessed hope is. If you go to your Bible, to the book of Acts, in chapter 1 and verse 11, you find there that the blessed hope that the Bible is talking about is to see Jesus again. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, you know what happened there. The disciples were talking to the Lord resurrected. And the Bible said in verse 10 that while they were looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them and white appears. Jesus taken up. The helicopter have come in a cloud. And can you imagine Jesus stepping inside the cloud? I don't know if his seat or stand or whatever. And the cloud start going up. Can you imagine that? I wish somebody can have the imagination to paint that. I don't know if you are painting, but I love to see a painting of Jesus standing on the cloud. I want to go to this store here. Where is it? King K? I want to see if I can talk to him. I want he paint something like that. I want to impress him with the coming of Jesus so that he can get his mind in there. And the man has the gift, don't we? That some of you have the pictures. You look on it and your heart is filled. And paint that Jesus sitting there smiling with the hands open. We Christians are like this all the time. Jesus smiling, going up in the clouds. See? And I imagine the disciple would say, what? You know? But look at verse 11. God always helping. The angels came in and said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why is time ye gazing up into heaven. In other words, you got the Old Testament. You got the prophecies of Haggai. You got the prophecies of Joel. You got all these prophecies. What's the matter with you guys? Why are you looking like that? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And remember John 14? You are in Acts 1. I have a few more minutes. I can go to John 14. And in verse 3, remember what Jesus said to the disciples? They forgot already. Have you ever, boys, studied something and 10 minutes later you forgot about it? That's what happened to all of us. Look at here, John 14, verse 3. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. The idea of Jesus coming again is not a Roman Catholic idea. It's not a Protestant idea. It's the Bible teaching. And the Bible says that the grace of God will give all of us Christians looking for. That we Christians miss that looking for of Christ, we get in a mess. Because you maybe have a car accident, or you get like me with these surgeries back and forth, and I try to get a price from the doctor from the upper level, and I cannot get it, and you will get frustrated. You get frustrated with the events of this world. You get frustrated. It's all the things unexpected that happen to us. But we look for something beyond this world, the coming of the Lord Jesus. My wife said, don't say it. I'm going to say it. My grandma, and I'm a grandpa now. I know. But my grandma, if I remember something good, with the long scares of the Arab Palestinian style, as she walked in the kitchen, she would open the doors at 4:30, the time that she wake me up, and I was 4 or 5 years old. And we had to cut the wood, boys, so to put it in the oven and so on. And she looked, and across the patio was a big wall from the neighbors. And she said, perhaps today. And I thought, my grandma, lose it. And when I was 10, 11, I said, oh, she really is losing that thing. But then when the grace of God came into my heart, then I understood what my grandma was saying. My grandma was poor. My grandma had to cut the wood and put it over there. My grandma had to heat the water in order to wash the dishes. That's why I wash the dishes smiling here in America. You put it on the dishwasher. My wife said, you always hear the dishwasher. Shh, always hear. And I like the dishwasher to go because I say, I'm free from the dishwasher. The beauty. She and the simplicity of her heart said, thank God that man. They came and prayed in our home. And now I understand who's God. Thank God for the American missionary Benzotti. In the year 1907, they went into that home looking for a room and left Jesus in my grandmother's home. The grace of God is a gift. Now the great question, have the grace of God become visible to you? That's a great question. Have the grace of God become visible to you? Can you say without any doubt, that you really have Jesus in your heart? That doesn't matter, again, what church you get it, what prayer, this is incidental. Please, take mankind division away, will you? I'm mad when I see all these signs. We are Christians. We're Christian. Are you Christian? You have Christ. Then you have the grace of God. And if you have the grace of God, that grace will help you to make the next step tomorrow morning in your life. Thank God. Heavenly Father, we are more than grateful that the grace of God has appeared to all men 2,000 years after Jesus, still appear invisible. And some of us were privileged to have it. We have a church meeting just to proclaim the grace of God. We have a church service just not to talk about ourselves, but to talk about Jesus and how wonderful it is when we see, when that grace of God becomes visible to us. Oh God, I pray that in your mercy, you will make that grace clear to all of us. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Before the benediction today, we're going to call Terry and Pete and Betty right here and all the boys right here to the front. And we're going to ask them to stand here. They have served this church for a long time. And as I said in my prayer, we did not have a choir. We have people singing, but not a choir. And Terry took whatever we have and produced what people in the radio think is 100 voices, all right? Okay, here they are. Here's Grandma. She's the star because she likes flowers like me. All right. Okay. And we're going to do two or three things. Number one, we're going to bring, Russell, you bring it in. Let me get this. Okay. Brother Pete, you get your present from the church. Is this from the choir? Let me see. Not yet. Okay. Well, this is still from the church. All right. To give it to Terry. And let me see. And now we have another gift from the choir, all right? And it's coming somewhere. All right, somebody go and get the gift from the choir. In the meantime, I give you this gift from the pastor to you, a letter of what you really have meant to me in these years. It's just inexplicable, as I said, grace of God. I battle in prayer all these days so that the Lord will show the way. But the Lord did show the way that they went. And even though I have not accepted within my heart, I have to accept what God does. Because it's hard to say to friends goodbye. And I want to tell you that you have done a good job, because I want to call Marilyn, please. Marilyn, come here. Marilyn DeLillo. Yeah, come here. Here, one thing is leaving. Another thing is leaving. And already we have a well-skilled person here. Stand here, Marilyn. On behalf of the choir, Brother Victor, bring these memories to you so that you can, as you see, keep it in your home and know that we really love you. All right. All right. And we're going to have a potluck luncheon after the meeting, so you don't have to leave.
Pastor, I'd just like to say a few
words. Please, right, please.
Terry, we're just so thankful for all your hard work, and me being a choir member for a long time. I know it's been approximately about 10 years. And for everyone here that's been involved in volunteer work, you know, you see the end product, you know, the choir just standing and singing songs and things of that nature. But there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes that I'm sure Terry and Pete, have done, you know, as far as going to the bookstores, going through, you know, listening to tapes, various, many, many tapes and CDs of songs, going through scores and scores of music material. And that all takes time, and I know, Terry, you've done it because you love the Lord, and that's what makes it so special. And we're so, from the bottom of our hearts, the choir would just like to say thank you so much for all that you've done. And I'd just like to read one verse before we have you look at that gift. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. It says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So thank you very much.
Thank you. Did we have the other person here or not yet? There must be. Here it comes.
The gift that we want to present and to the back here.
Okay.
And what it is, it's just a picture of our choir at various times in the history of our church so that you can remember us, and then the three crosses of our church. And so we just wanted to present this to you, and we have a little note for you, and we've signed it all for you so that you will never forget us.
No, I've got to say something. We're not dying. We're just moving.
But we just wanted to thank you, and thank you for all the back pain you've given us too with the bags of books that we have to carry.
You just wait.
And I never knew that there were so many ready to sing songs in existence.
But there are more.
There are.
Thank you very much.
Remember, after the benediction, then we're going to there in her pastor will be greeting for those who leave, but those who we want to ask here, the Dostes and Mrs. Tharp, just to be first here, and then you follow. Let's pray together. Moses said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace." May God fulfill all of these in their life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right.